Welcome to Deep Dive, a podcast series in which Fredericks editor-in-chief Derek Caponegro and fellow editors are joined by design industry leaders to share their unique insights, experiences, and knowledge on the world of decorating.
I'm Eugenia Soto, the design and decoration director for Frederick, and I'm thrilled to welcome today's Deep Dive guests, Carolina Olympia and Ariadne Irving. In 2018, Carolina Irving, a textile designer, former creative director of Oscar de la Renta Home, and also former design editor at House & Garden, launched Carolina Irving & Daughters with her daughters, Olympia and Ariadne. The lifestyle brand, which began with Tabletop, soon expanded beyond it, and now the three women work collaboratively designing beautiful, purposeful objects, each one handmade by artisanal craftspeople to celebrate daily moments. So welcome. Let's dive right in. Thanks for being here.
We're super excited.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. And we have so many questions. Starting with the family business. So tell me a little bit about how Carolina and Irving Daughters came to be. Carolina, I'd love to hear your perspective on it. Was it something that was years in the making, an idea that you had in the back of your head? Or was it like a spur of the moment thing? Like, just tell us a little bit about how it came to that point.
Well, actually, it was very quick. I was sitting with the girls in their apartment in London, and we were just chatting in the afternoon. And I had already started making some plates because I, you know, just loved it. And, you know, I thought it was fun. And then I had these wonderful artisans in Portugal. Anyway, and I can't remember whether it was Ariadne or Olympia who said, why don't we just start this business, do this business together? We all love entertaining. We love food. We love ceramics. It's something that runs in the family. And I can tell you it was done so quickly because literally I emailed my accountant and I said, could we just make this company? Just, you know, we agonized a little bit. What are we going to call it? And we thought, you know what, let's just call it Carolina Irving and Daughters, because that's what it is. So we couldn't find another name that made any, you know, better sense. So it was really, really done on the spur of the moment very quickly. And we started really quickly. We had so many ideas and things that we wanted to make. So we started creating these, you know, ceramics and, you know, candlesticks and this and that. And at the beginning, you know, we put them on Instagram to get visibility and everything. And to make a long story short, literally just before COVID, the girls said, listen, we absolutely have to have a website. And they were pushing and pushing. And I'm old-fashioned. I thought, oh, a website, no. And you know what? Thank God we did it, because that really saved us, you know, completely. I mean, it was unbelievable. We had a real presence. We had a commercial presence. And, you know, when COVID hit, it was really scary for everyone. But we had this website, and, you know, that's when it's really, you realize it's fantastic working with younger people. And if it happens to be your children, then even better, because I wasn't even thinking of having a website.
And I think also what was great is that, you know, as, you know, we all know with COVID, everyone was at home. You still wanted to be surrounded by beautiful things. You weren't going out anymore. So all of a sudden, I think it all very luckily for us happened, because we launched this website. We'd been dreaming of doing it. And, you know, people were just happy to see things and know that you could still be surrounded by beautiful things, even though you couldn't leave your house. So I think for us, you know, we were very lucky with that.
There is so much that you hear about running a business as a family. Olympia, I'd love to hear from you what it's like and what you think each of you bring to the table. Let's start with Olympia.
I mean, listen, it's amazing. Yes, are there moments where you fight with your family more than you probably would fight with your boss and in a different way? But what's fantastic about it is that it creates a huge amount of transparency, and it's easy because we can be really open with each other about what we like and what we don't like. And so I think for us, when you're designing something, for me to be able to say, listen, I actually think this color doesn't work, and have that, you know, that lack of fear to be able to say that is something that's actually been quite incredible for us. There's no fear in expressing what our likes and dislikes are, which means that it ends up becoming a real collaboration. And I think we sort of naturally fell into our roles. Ariadne and my mother are definitely more creative, and I really enjoy the side where there's logistics and the collaborations and things like that. But at the end of the day, we all have to approve something, and we all have the same eye. I mean, you know, we were brought up by my mom, so I think we're all sort of drawn to the same thing. But it's magical. I mean, I think I wouldn't want it any other way. And I think what we've managed to create, at least we know that at the end of the day, what we come out with and what ends up on a table is something that we all love. And the other thing is Ariadne and my mom love the research behind it, because lots of our designs are based on things that they've, you know, from the past. They both studied history of art. So I think we all naturally, I mean, I don't know if you guys would agree, we all kind of naturally fell into these roles.
So Carolina, you were at Oscar de la Renta when the brand developed homeware. What are some of the biggest lessons you learned during that time and about growing a homeware business?
It was an incredible experience for me because I had never done that. And I mean, designing textiles is a different thing, but here you understand what the market wants, what people want. You learn to create a collection that makes sense. You don't kind of do separate things just because you like them. It has to be a whole. And that was it was a fantastic experience for me. It really was. Dealing with the production, keeping the prices at a certain level. This is something that you learn and how important it is. And, my business sense is not the best. So, I mean, it was a very good lesson. It was very, very interesting. It was very interesting for me. And also to get into someone's mind, of course, it was easier because I loved everything that Oscar de la Renta was about and the way he lived. So it felt quite natural to me. So I will say it was easier than maybe having had to design for something that was so alien to my sensibilities. But it was an incredible experience. I think, you know, thank God, I'm so grateful that I did it.
Yeah, I don't think we would have been able to start our business if you hadn't done it, because it did, like you said, it's a real understanding to know when to release a plate, what works, what doesn't. And I think, Mama, you really got that from being with Oscar de la Renta and understanding production and timings. And I think that is something that is really crucial. You can have a wonderful eye, but at some point to translate it to go into the market, you need to have a bit of an understanding of how it works.
Right. And then just switching from being an editor on the journalism side to being on a brand side is so interesting and different.
No, totally. I will say, I keep saying it to my children. I think they've had enough of me saying it. But during COVID, I was looking at Instagram and there was a tutorial that Anna Wintour was giving to people who wanted to start their own business. And honestly, I should have had it tattooed on my arm, because she said to anyone who starts a business, this is my advice. Don't look left. Don't look right. Just follow your gut feeling. And I thought, whoa. You know what, you know, when you're doubting everything you do and you think, oh my God, are people going to like this or not? There's a point when you realize you can't please everyone. And hopefully you think that you do what you really like, and then eventually people will like it too, or certain people will like it. But I've never forgotten that piece of advice. And I thought, well, coming from her, it has to be true.
Right. And then I think also just giving authenticity to what you do. And I imagine also just shifting from designing for a brand, which is an amazing brand, Oscar de la Renta, but to, you know, doing what you wanted to do. How like was that shift? And was it something that just was completely natural and was always like within all of you?
Well, it was in a sense liberating when we did our own stuff, because then we could really, really go crazy and say, oh my God, we saw this plate in a 17th century painting. Let's try and do something similar. And then all of a sudden, you know, who's going to say, well, no, this is not going to go with this or that. So there's a great deal of freedom, which is also a great thing, I have to say.
So Ariadne, tell us a little bit about working intergenerationally and how that's beneficial to the business. And is it something where you have an idea and you have your mom and your sister to bounce the ideas off of? Or is it sometimes like you come up with a design and you just feel like it's so strongly about it that you don't really need the feedback? Tell us a little about how it works.
I mean, I think the intergenerational aspect of the business is so important for us, because I think from my mom, we get the tradition, her huge, vast knowledge about art history and design. So that's already sets us on such a higher level, because You know, she's basically our visual dictionary. You know, I show her something, I show you something, you're like, oh, that's 6th century Iraqi tile or something. Like the most niche, you know exactly what it is. That knowledge is imperative for what we do. I think especially that our designs are very much based on historical references, I would say. Yes, I will find certain things, and if there's something I feel very, very strongly about, I will present it to both of them, and you know, I'll make my case and say, listen, I think this would be amazing with these colors, and we can switch this and make it a bit more modern. And I think for our side, we'll go for dinner at lots of friends' houses, and we see how they live, and we see what they're into and what they're interested in. So, you know, I think it's the sense of the tradition, but also a modern side of it, not necessarily just making a white plate, but sort of seeing how everyone else wants to live. I think we have our sort of pulse on what young people like. I think being social and getting yourself out there really does help as well. But I also think the mix of, you know, going to our parents' friends' homes for dinner and lunches is also such a wonderful influence on what we're doing as well. I think it's just, I think that's a big part of our business, is mixing old and new, whether it's ages or also just design. but yeah, I think there's also a huge resurgence of young people wanting to entertain and liking to entertain and really feeling pride in their own home, like our parents did as well. And just on the marketing side and the more boring side, I guess, it's, you know, my mom might not necessarily know how to market on Instagram, whereas we might know how to do that better than she does. So, you know, it's the type of thing where she's still writing hashtag and then there's a space between the next word. Many things like that. I think it's just a perfect mix. You need to have the old and the new, the modern and the traditional. And I think that works perfectly for us. And that's basically what our brand ethos is old and new in a sense.
But also, I think that the way that we were brought up was that we were always taken around with our parents, with their friends. So we were always surrounded by this. But so I think it was always very natural that this was going to be an intergenerational business. And what we were going to come up with was also going to be intergenerational, that it should work with, you know, our friends, but also with our parents' friends. I think that's what we always loved, was sitting around a table being surrounded by people of all ages and the conversations that would come from that. So I think for us, it is the most beneficial thing to our business.
So the ethos of your company is making art-inspired homeware for the joy of living. And I want to know what joy of living means to each of you.
The joy of living is, in our mind, I think, is just being surrounded by things that make you smile and things that are beautiful. Of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder or whatever it is. But I just think things that are beautiful just automatically put a smile on your face, whether it's a tiny little vase with one flower that you got at the deli, you know, that can brighten your day instantly. And I think we live in such a frenetic, loud world that when you're at home or when you're entertaining, it's that moment of peace and serenity. And I think the joy of living, you know, if you can add a bit of beauty in it, why wouldn't you do it? It's so simple. You can just buy 2 plates or even put them on your wall, and that sort of can, you walk into your house like, oh, and you look at it and you stop for a second, it gives you that second to think about something, and or it reminds you of something. I think making things easy and uncomplicated, which is why I think setting a pretty table even for 2 people or watching television and having a pretty plate, it's just such a quick and easy thing that, I don't know, you made an effort. It just, I think it makes you smile. And I think that's really the joy of living.
And it's something that you do every day. Like, you sit down to meals every day. So it is like just elevating a moment.
I think that also rituals are great. I think everything, as Ariadne says, is so frenetic and so crazy. And to have these rituals where you're going to sit around a table, which is such, to me, it's so important. Whether it's with your family or with friends. And it's a moment of, I usually call it, it's like a truce in you know, in a war. It's like, okay, now everyone just stop, and then there's a conversation and you take care of people. I mean, you know, happiness is moments, and these moments are definitely part of making life so much more enjoyable, I think. And if you can give that to people, I think they feel it too. I really do.
Absolutely. And it's probably a bit cultural as well. I think that, you know, in Spanish, there's the word sobremesa for this whole concept of just, like, you sit for hours and hours at the table, and it's a lifestyle really more than anything.
Totally. I mean, there's nothing I like more than just sitting at the table for hours. I love that. I think we all like that.
So Olympia, when it comes to entertaining and tabletop design, what are your thoughts and what are your philosophies on that?
Well, I think that the reason when we started the brand was because we felt like there was this gap in the market where it was either really, really expensive plates or your grandmother's crockery that you were too scared to use or something that was really, really simple. And I think for us, our whole philosophy was that we wanted, like we said in for this last question, we wanted people to be using these things. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a TV dinner or a dinner for 20 people or whatever it is, that moment when you stop to sit down and have a meal, it should feel special. And I think that's why we really wanted to start our business and also to make it easy. I mean, I know it sounds, but like our plates are dishwasher safe and microwave safe. So it's all these things so that you can really, you know, they're usable and you're not scared to use them. And if they chip, yes, of course, it's annoying to have to rebuy a plate, but you don't have this fear of like, oh my God, this is going to cost me an arm and a leg and I can't replace it. So I think that's what we really wanted. And also by having this influence with the past and all these historical documents was also to show that you can have things that are usable and still be based on something that was, you know, in a 17th century painting, and that those worlds can collide. They work perfectly together. There are no rules. I think also, you know, not everyone has 12 sets of, you know, of this or that. And that's why we've always loved this idea of mixing and matching. So you might have 4 of our plates and 4 that you got from IKEA and 4 that you got from someone else and your friends lent them to you. And then you put them all together and that doesn't matter. Beauty doesn't have to be perfect. It's whatever the effort that you've put into it. And I think that's what is so important for us. Mixing whatever you have and making something, I think is what the real joy of it is as well, because then it's a game. I mean, then it's so much fun.
And then Olympia and Ariadne, we touched on this earlier. How did your childhood, which was of course surrounded by beautiful textiles and art and antiques and linens and tableware, how did that childhood inform your love of entertaining and tabletop?
I mean, I think the notion of entertaining was originally introduced to us by our grandmother, my mother's mother, because even as children, she was Venezuelan, and even as children, we had like a perfect place setting with 15 forks and knives, and it was all set super beautifully and extravagantly. It was incredibly formal, but so wonderful. But I think when we were growing up in New York with my parents, and you know, my dad was at Sotheby's in the silver department, and he is a dealer on his own now. And with my mom's, you know, piles of textiles and the incredible mix of things, I think when we were growing up, we started to see that how our parents would entertain, and it really showed us the beauty of mixing the formal and the informal. So the table would be, they would have dinner parties all the time, and the table would be set with incredible sort of 18th century cutlery and candles and silver candlesticks with rustic plates, but then you'd have those sort of Georgian green glasses. So I think it was this sort of like the mix of everything really informed the way. And again, back to the ethos of our brand, it's just the mix of old and new, the mix of high and low, if you want to put it in that sense. And that's hugely influenced us, I think.
And I think also with our grandmother, yes, it was very formal. And I think what our parents showed us is that actually it can also be very fun. So, you know, like they'd be setting these amazing tables and then dinner was roast chicken, roast potatoes and peas and everyone was serving themselves. And so I think that was what, like, just like Ariadne was just saying, I think that's what was always so nice, was it took away the scariness of it all of a sudden, because you didn't need the 15 forks and knives. You can still have a beautiful table. And then you have these foods on big platters. It was just all very jovial. And I think, you know, we'd hear them, we'd go to bed and you could hear them, you know, laughing until the night. And I think it was, but it was true. It was so much fun to have laughter filling the house and hearing and meeting all these amazing characters and us being allowed to come out and sit there and speak to them and then go off to bed. I think it was always in the background for us. So I think it was always natural that this was going to happen because it's part of our DNA. I mean, our parents literally instilled this in us from the beginning.
We're going to take a quick break to thank the sponsor of today's show, Schumacher. Since 1889, the fifth generation family business has been the go-to source for textiles, wallpapers, and trims. Their insatiable passion for luxury, beauty, and quality have produced designs that transcend time and rise above the ordinary. So head to Schumacher.com to check it out.
What does it do to you to use a beautiful set of plates every day and not just for special occasions. Carolina, why don't you take this one?
Looking at beautiful things really, really makes me happy. I mean, I can't even describe it in any other way. It's just for some people, it's less important and it doesn't really matter. And I think for all of us, it's part of the joy of life. And, you know, I understand that, you know, maybe it's a notion that's a little bit precious or I don't even know. It just really makes me happy because I look at a beautiful plate and then maybe I'm thinking of where it comes from and then my imagination starts, you know, running wild. And these are moments in life that are great, but I understand not for everyone, but I think for us, living the imagination is a really important thing. I think we all have our very individual worlds and we each have our fantasies. And look, it's very important. As I said, you know, life is, you know, it's difficult, it's rough at times. And I think, my God, you know, the joy of just looking at something beautiful, it makes me very happy. It really does. It gives me great joy.
There is something about it feeding one's soul, I think, that to have those little moments of beauty.
Definitely.
And I think it's what we were saying also, it's that moment of stillness when you come back into a space, whether it's your own home or someone else's home, whether it's you eating alone or two people or 10 people, there is this thing where I think at some point, even just looking down, like my mom was saying, you know, sometimes when we have our plates and then there's some food on it and then we see the mix of colors and we're like, oh my God, how cool would this plate be in this different color? It's like what you were saying, it lets your imagination sort of run wild and it could be from anything. But I think it is important to us to have those little moments of just quiet and stillness where it's just you and your meal or whatever.
You and your plate.
You and your plate. And then a slice of pizza. I don't know.
So all of you entertain a lot. Let's go behind the scenes for a minute and just walk us a little bit through the preparation and setting the scene when you're hosting an event or a dinner. Carolina, you've done it for so many years. Tell us a little bit about what, you know, the day of, what you do. Or maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just so natural now that you just don't have to think about it as much.
No, not really. I'm quite nervous. So I like to do things way in advance. And I think Olympia and Ariadne, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we like setting the table really in the morning. Let's say we're having people for dinner.
Definitely.
Which also gives you the possibility of changing your mind. And then you'll try the tablecloth, which whatever flower you could have bought literally from the supermarket. And it gives you a couple of hours to say, no, I don't like this. Let's change it. Let's put some lemons instead of flowers. So it's less stressful. And I'm quite stressed. So I those things, I don't like to do that at the last minute. Absolutely not. And it also depends on the food that you have. If you know you're going to put big platters in the center of the table, you know, you have to think what space you have left to put flowers, or you know, this takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. Ariadne, what's your little ritual?
Yeah, I definitely set the table as early as possible. As you said, it does allow you time and room to switch things out if you need to. But it's one thing that just like you, and then also it's quite nice because then while you're in the kitchen or doing all the other things, you're just actually looking at your pretty table all day. So that's quite nice. And then, I mean, Olympia, we sort of have created our roles in when we entertain. I definitely do the sort of table, flowers, and Olympia's in the kitchen. I'm a table. So Olympia deals with all of that. So it's also sort of figuring out what your menu is. And are you doing do you have it in you to do multiple courses? Are you willing to sort of change the plates in the middle of the meal? It's things that you have to think about. So Olympia, maybe you have more insight onto that.
Yeah, I think like you've both said, first thing, set the table, that's done. And then it also means that at the end, when you finish cooking, you have that time to relax before people arrive, because there's nothing worse than that, you know, like being the hostess who's super stressed running around because you haven't finished setting the table. So I think definitely starting with setting the table, I do the cooking in the kitchen. So I always, for example, already in the morning know which platters I'm going to use for what I'm specifically cooking. So those are already out. So then Ariadne, when she's setting the table, can either figure out, are they going to be on the table or do we need a little side table? And then I think it starts becoming fun. So then whether it's deciding, you know, who's coming for dinner. So who's going to sit next to who, even if it's four people, six people, eight people, it's always nice to know, you know, where you're going to sit. Sometimes you arrive at a dinner and you're sort of standing there awkwardly. I think as a hostess, even if you don't have plasma cards, it's nice to sort of lead somewhere to where they need to be. And then I think then you just have to have fun. We put on a, I love to play music. My mom hates having music on. But yeah, I think starting with setting the table, no, and then the rest sort of falls into place.
It sounds like you all are all quite comfortable and a little bit loose with the entertaining, but do you have any rules? And if so, what are your top three entertaining rules?
Our number one is lighting. I think lighting is the most important thing. It's creating an atmosphere. You want your people to feel comfortable. I think for us, we are candle girls. We love the light that comes from it. I think people feel comfortable. You look good.
With the candles, do you also do low ambient lighting in the room or is it just candlelit?
We'll always have one or two lamps because you also don't want to be submerged in complete darkness and not see what's on your plate. I think that's also can be a bit spooky. You know, lots of candles, maybe a couple of lamps here and there. But I think that already with the lighting, it creates an atmosphere and people arrive and you already feel more comfortable. Whereas if you walk in and there's sort of, you know, interrogation lamps all over the place, you feel a bit awkward.
Lighting, honestly, I think it is the most important thing because you want people to look their best. And if you had terrible overhead spotlights, I'm sorry, but you know, you look like, you know, you don't look good. So also it makes an atmosphere where people feel more relaxed. It's more intimate, you know, candlelit is really, you know, there's nothing like it, to be honest with you. And I will say you could have the plainest of table settings, which can also be really beautiful, just a white tablecloth, beautiful rustic white plates and nothing on the table. But the minute you put candles, then it takes on a new dimension. It looks like a sort of monastic, wonderful thing. It just, everything is transformed, I think, you know.
I think number two for us is making sure, or maybe this should actually be number one, is making sure that your guests feel comfortable. And that means including them, making sure that they're included in the conversation. If someone doesn't know someone, you know, at the beginning, making sure that you're introducing them, trying to find something in common. I think that's something that is so important. There's nothing worse than sitting around and seeing that one person that's sitting alone in the corner and you just completely ignoring them. I think that's your role as a hostess, is making sure that the moment that people are spending in your house, they're comfortable and happy and can, you know, join the flow. So I think that's something that we find important. And I think what goes hand in hand is then not being stressed as a hostess. So that means, like we said, being prepared earlier. You know, if you don't have help, which for example, Ariadne and I, when we throw our dinners, don't have a three-course dinner so that in the middle of dinner, you're taking up the plates and interrupting the flow and then people feel like they have to get up and help. So I think also simplifying your own role is crucial. And then the last one, and that's just because I think as we've said, is making it as beautiful as you can. And that could be anything, you know. If you can't find nice flowers, then we just take a bowl and put the fruits or the platters. I think that makes your guests feel comfortable. It creates an atmosphere and then it makes you happy. So I think those are three things that for us are very important.
What are some other ways that you make people feel comfortable?
I think a nice thing is to offer your guests a drink upon arrival. I think it's also a very nice thing to have a little bar table set up so the guests can help themselves, so they don't feel like they constantly have to ask you like, oh, can I possibly have another glass of wine, or can I have a glass of sparkling water? I think you have sort of a few essential things on your little bar table and everyone can help themselves. I think that's why it's quite fun. We have these sort of little mini ice buckets that we put down our table. So you don't have to keep getting up and down for ice or things like, I know it sounds silly, but it's just these little things. And, you know, I just think it's the guests might feel awkward being like, oh, shoot, is it embarrassing? I'm asking for something else. You don't want to feel like the hostess is running around for you. But also, you know, that's what we're here for. But I think it's nice for the guests to be able to help themselves in certain moments. That's why I think it's nice to have family style platters down the table, because then you just serve yourself so much easier than having to get up and down. Of course, if we're doing a big dinner, a lot of the times we'll have a side table because that's, there's just too much on the table. Mm-hmm. As Olympia said also, I think it's if it's a group of people that are very familiar, are not very familiar with each other, a seating plan can really help. It doesn't necessarily have to have plasma cards. But if you sort of like say, oh, I think you should sit here and, you know, you work here and I think it'd be very interesting for you two to chat. And, you know, it mixes things up as well. Sometimes, you know, if someone doesn't really know anyone, they're sort of standing there waiting to figure out where am I going to sit? It's nice for the host to say, as I just said, you know, it would be great for you to meet this person.
Yeah. And I think also, as we were saying, I think as a hostess, you have to be vigilant and also not be sort of watching people like a hawk, but look around and see, you know, if at some point you notice that for a little bit of a while, someone's been, you know, not spoken to, or the two people on their either side have spoken to someone else, you know, maybe even from across the table, just say, how is this? Or bring up something else. I think you have to sort of be present as a hostess and not sort of leave everyone to their own, you know, devices. I think it's nice to know that you're there, maybe sometimes leading things as naturally as you want. It doesn't have to feel forced, but I think you have to be watching. Like you said, you don't want to arrive there and feel uncomfortable. We're not inviting people to come to our houses so that they feel like they're on the spot when they're sitting. It's not, you know, it's meant to be a moment where you're learning something new or catching up with an old friend. And so I think that's important.
I think it's find the happy medium, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been to these dinner parties sometimes when you arrive with a knot in the pit of your stomach and it's, you know, you don't know anyone or people don't talk to you. I mean, look, it's happened to, I think, all of us. And you're so grateful when the hostess is actually looking after you and, you know, you realize that you're not completely left to your own devices. And we were chatting about this the other day. Some people like to invite very antagonistic people or people who, you know, there might be sparks and an explosion and, you know, people will argue. Some people really love that kind of tension. I hate that. I think the worst thing, you know. Things should be harmonious and you have to, but you know, some people literally love the controversy and the, you know, I'm not, if I know two people, you know, hate each other, you know, I'm not going to sit them, you know, or I won't even ask them to the same dinner, but some people they really care and they think it's entertainment, you know.
And I think also what I'm hearing from all of you is just the practice part of it is so important. Like anything, that like the more you do it, the better you get at it, the hostessing, and you start to notice all these little things. So I think it's like just so important also for people who like to host to just encourage them to just keep doing it. And if it's not perfect, that's okay. And, you know, you get better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely trial and error. I mean, you know, there's so many times that, as I said earlier, we've tried to do like an insane sort of roast or something that you just stress out the whole time. I think you just, as you said, the more you practice, the more you learn. I think it's...
Well, I always think about the Bridget Jones movie where she makes the blue soup.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
I feel like exactly.
I know.
But also, I think just to quickly touch on this one as well, I think for me, what I actually find one of the big joys of living is I love putting people together. And I think we all love that. And I think that's why we started this whole brand, is because that's what makes us happy. You know, when you sit back at some point when you're having a dinner and you look around and people that you know, from all parts of your life are together and you're watching them and everyone's laughing and having a good time. I think that is really the most wonderful thing at the end of the day.
What's next for Carolina Irving and Daughters? Is there anything new on the horizon?
I think that, well, obviously we want to grow and design more plates and everything and just extend the range of things and maybe go a bit more into lifestyle, you know, not just the table. That's something, you know, we would very much like to do. So fingers crossed.
I think also for our future, I'd love to do like a series of trunk shows or pop-ups, like, and, you know, because selling online is great, but I think the designs really come to life when you see them in person. And I would love to meet our customers face to face. You know, as Olympia said, we could talk about our designs for days and days and days. So I think it's nice to meet people in person. And again, you know, a lot of the times when we do a pop-up, people pick up the plates. They're like, oh, wow, they're heavier than I thought, or they're sturdier than I thought, or wow, they're much glossier. And they're, you know, that color comes out a lot more than it does in the picture. So I think doing pop-ups would be really a fun thing to do, more of at least, I think.
Definitely. And in person with home things, there's really nothing like it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we need to get our act together. No, we need. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Deep Dive.